Luke 2, 1 to 21 says this, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there will be with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your desire to speak to us today through it by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship and proclaim your truth unto one another. Lord, pray that we would rest in the peace that you and you alone provide. We would rest in the fact that regardless of circumstance, we can be in your presence at all times because of the Savior who came to earth. Through our faith in him, he lives in us, and his peace is with us. Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this passage is probably one of the more familiar passages of the Bible, the telling of Jesus' birth. If you've been connected to church in any way over the course of your lifetime at Christmas, you have heard this story in some manner or some fashion. And as we've been looking at this sort of jump off of a series for us from John and considering just simply for a 4-week period, the Advent season, that the Word has been made flesh. Jesus, who was with God in eternity past, came into this life as a baby. And here is the moment of that. Because we've heard the story so many times, we don't maybe consider how powerful it is, the events that are described here. There's a lot of power to what the Lord has done in this simple passage. In Luke's custom, he starts out the passage giving some detail about what was going on the larger, more influential scheme of things. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration of when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Who's in charge according to the world's eyes? Caesar. Who's in charge not only in the world, but in their region? Quirinius. Is God showing up to them? All went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph went from Galilee to from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Joseph, because of his faith in God and God's communication with him, has stepped into a sticky situation. Mary, whom he is not yet married to, he is taking on a journey to a city where he will be counted with her as his wife, even though she is already pregnant. The child he did not father. Peace might not really be in his heart right now. His mind might be spinning with how he's to be thought of and what's going to be said, regardless of how many angels showed up and said this is how it's to be. He's going to take this woman, Mary, on a journey while she's pregnant to a city across their region. And while they're there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Remember that if you know the Christmas story, an angel had appeared to Mary and told her very plainly, and we'll look at it some more next week, but told her very plainly that this child to be born was to be the ruler of a forever kingdom. That he was to be the Christ, that he was to be called Jesus. This is what is told to her, yet here what happening is that they're being sent from their home of Nazareth to another city where she's going to give birth. And not only are they not going to a great city, they're going to the city of Bethlehem where there's not even room for them to stay in the public shelter. The only place they is available to them is the inn where she will give birth, or the manger where she will give birth. We talked about this some at Bible study. It's not that the people in the inn were necessarily cold toward her, as the general, like, traditional story may say to us, that you've got this grumpy innkeeper there and he's like, go away, we don't have room for you. It's not really what's happening, right? They come and this city is packed with people that need to come back for the census, and the inn is just full. It's not really a great place to have a child, right? And so really the best place that they may have for her situation is the manger, where there's some privacy and it's set apart and they can take care of her needs. The innkeeper sort of gets a bad rap in this, but even still, just think about what's going on in Mary's mind. I'm carrying the king of the world, and I'm going to give birth in a stable? Like, if God is so powerful, and he's going to bear this son through me, then ought I not be somewhere better than a manger? How is this going to work? If I have this baby here, how is my family going to sustain in this city? Are we going to travel back with a newborn to Nazareth where my husband had a job? All these things, these thoughts are going through her head. Peace is not necessarily the spot where her heart is right now. Even when you have all the comfort and protection the world can offer, giving birth and bringing a child into this world, it can be difficult, but think about these circumstances. Peace was likely not easy for them to come by. But as we've seen, God shows up. God brings comfort into situations that are not comfortable. And he doesn't do so through the command of a census by Caesar. He doesn't do so through the rule of Quirinius, the governor. He comes to some shepherds, the outcast of society, caring for the cattle on the fields, looking up at the stars. An angel of the Lord appears to them. Not to the religious elite in Jerusalem nearby, not to the governor or the Caesar, but to the shepherds in the field, the angel comes with a revelation that is going to bring peace to this situation. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." As we talked about, again, a little bit on Thursday, there's a reason why an angel needs to say, "Fear not," a lot of times. They weren't exactly cherub-looking. They were most likely intimidating in their stature, as well as their spontaneous appearance, you know? I mean, if a shining image of a person appeared to you at any point, you know, you would probably be freaking out, right? And based on our description of angels in Scripture, it would not necessarily be an inviting presence in terms of what you'd be looking at. The glory of the Lord, though, was there, and they shook, and the angel therefore said, the typical greeting of an angel, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This news is for, first, for the people of Israel, that their Christ, the Christ that has been foretold in the scriptures of the Hebrews throughout the Old Testament, that the Christ has come. Good news that should be great joy for all the people. It is this: unto you, shepherds and people, is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The first angel comes to the shepherds and says, the Christ is born. He's in Bethlehem, the city of David, as it says, and he's in a manger. If you want to find out, just go verify the facts. Tells them exactly what has happened, that this marvelous thing has happened. The Christ has been born. This is where he's at, this city, and in this manger. As soon as he completes his message, thinking that, you know, one angel might be scary enough or powerful enough, it says, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Imagine, hard to imagine in Tampa Bay sometimes because the light pollution and all that, but imagine you were in a field somewhere and there was no light around. And first one angel appears, and maybe it's bright in this general area, but then a multitude appears in this dark sky. This dark field that you're in is just lit up entirely with angels. praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We don't know how long this went on, but it went on for a period of time, and when it was completed, they went away into heaven. They disappeared from their view. Didn't see them like walk off in file. They just disappeared into heaven. So the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go. Let's go see if what this angel told us is true. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." Actually, I mean, they sort of have faith in this already that it has happened. "Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." As they received this experience of angels, they believed it. The Lord said, "Christ has been born," and they said, "It has happened. The Lord has made known to us that the Christ has been born." They didn't even have to go. They went to see. "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at the shepherds had told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." There's a crowd around that sort of hears the story, and they're amazed by a shepherd's story that they saw some angels and came and verified a birth. And they might have just been amazed that might have happened, but they didn't really experience it. But for Mary, again, for Mary and Joseph, as they've made a journey and as they're waiting for a birth in a manger, and wondering what is to be of their lives that are really kind of in a mix, to say the least, Mary treasured them in her heart. If she had any doubt that her circumstances were not verifying what the Lord had told her would happen, these helped her be at peace. "Not only has the Lord appeared to me and told me this is the Christ, not only has the angel appeared to Joseph and told him, yes, take this wife, in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what others may think of it. Now, a group of lowly shepherds has been visited by a multitude of angels and found you and said, this is what happened. The angels told us that the Christ was born and that here he is in this manger. And so we have come." Could you imagine the peace that comes over this couple, this family, as what they have sort of been believing themselves starts to be verified by the Lord saying, "Yeah, it's true. I've told it to these shepherds as well." You think these shepherds are going to make up this story? No. They're not. It's a beautiful story, and at the center of it is the angels declaring the reality of what Jesus has brought. And that is this, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus came to bring us peace. Jesus came to bring peace into our lives. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Hebrews 2 says this about Jesus and his purpose in coming to earth. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham, humans. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus came to share in the same flesh and blood that we share in. Jesus came to partake in the same things that we partake in this life. That just as he suffered when he was tempted with the life's circumstances, just as we suffer when we're tempted with life's circumstances, he also suffered in the same way, yet without sin. That he might be a sacrifice for us, that we might be restored to God the Father. Who is it that receives peace? It is those who rest in the power and work of Jesus, who has brought peace to us through his sacrifice on the cross. Philippians 4 talks of this peace in another way that we receive in Jesus. And it says this, Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The way I've been reading this verse lately, verse 7 of Philippians 4 is this, that God gives us peace beyond what we can understand. The question is, what do we understand? Right? Our understanding is what we're seeing in our lives. Our understanding is the relationships we're dealing with each and every day. Our understanding is the regrets that we have in our life. Our understanding is the guilt that we might have in our life. The peace of God transcends all that we understand. And the Lord, who is at hand with you, who is here with you, who desires your heart, will guard it. Will guard both your heart and your mind. As a good shepherd, right? Who guards every single one of his sheep at every cost because it is his life. See, we were made We were made to be in relationship with our Father. And we broke that. And we break that. Often. And that's exactly why Jesus came. He came to restore peace between us and our Father in heaven. He came to destroy every lie from the pit of hell that would say, we're not good enough. He came to destroy our guilt, to destroy our regret, and to give us peace in the midst of everything that we suffer through. Not as some righteous elite who hasn't felt it, but as one who has felt it more than anybody. The Lord is at hand. He has felt your suffering and he has conquered it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Those words are written from a jail by Paul. He's in prison for his faith in Jesus. Peace of God in every circumstance. We don't serve a God of theories. We don't serve a God of ration. We serve a God who authored ration and stepped into it. We serve a God who takes chaos and turns it to order. We serve a God who comes to a woman who doesn't know where her family is going to survive, to a man who isn't sure what people think of him, and says, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Mary and Joseph, I am pleased with you, he says to them. To us today, he is saying, my peace can be on you if you believe what I have said is true. Jesus has felt your suffering and he has conquered it. Let us abide in the only one who can bring peace in the midst of this life. Let us pray. God, we thank you We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for mercies that are new this morning. We thank you, and we believe you. We believe you came to make your presence known to us. We believe you are at hand even now. We don't stand on what our circumstances tell us. We stand on what you have told us in Jesus. That our peace is found in you and in you alone. God, I pray, give us this peace. Help us to be ministers of this peace. Help us to be a body who cares who demonstrates our care unto one another, who picks each other up and points one another to the one who has brought eternal peace. May we not find comfort in things of this world that we're building. May we not be lied to about guilts and regrets that are in our past or things we're working on now. Help us hold strongly and firmly to a God who came in flesh as a baby in a manger, revealed to lowly shepherds in a field, that you are the one who has brought peace to this world, and the only one that can give this world hope. May our peace be found in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.